This week's Parsha is Parsha's Chukas. Our shir today is going to focus on chapter 21, verse number 4. But before we do that, we have to give a quick synopsis and we will stress certain verses that it's going to explain what happened here. We'll pick up the shir in chapter 20 in the episode of Mei Meriva. Mei Meriva is the episode that after Miriam died, the well of Miriam dried up, and because of that, the Jewish people didn't have water to drink. They came and complained to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to the rock. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon hit the rock. Therefore, it was decreed that Aharon and Moshe Rabbeinu will die in the desert, and they will not be able to go into Eretz Israel. Right after that, on verse number 14, the Torah mentions that Moshe Rabbeinu sent messengers to the king of Edom to ask for permission for the Jewish people to come through. Since the Jewish people are coming from the south and the shortest route would be to go to Eretz Israel through the land of Edom, the Torah does not mention that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to send messengers to Edom. Therefore, there are two different interpretations regarding this messenger sending. One, the interpretation of the Mincha Belula, that Hashem is the one who told Moshe Rabbeinu to send the messengers, even though Hashem knew that Edom is going to refuse, but Hashem wanted that Sihon, the next king that the Jewish people are going to encounter, will misunderstand and think that the Jewish people went around Edom when he didn't let us through, because we didn't have the power to fight them. Therefore, when the Jewish people ask Sihon to let us come through and Sihon refuses, Sihon has the boldness to come to war and the Jewish people go to war and defeat him. According to this, the idea of sending messengers to Edom was to entice Sihon to a fight, or could be that Moshe Rabbeinu did it in his own initiative. And this is the connection with the Mei Meriva, which is written previously, that even though Moshe Rabbeinu knew that if the Jewish people come in sooner to the land, then he will sooner die, nonetheless, Moshe Rabbeinu took the effort to make sure that the Jewish people go through the shorter route. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, in his own initiative, sent messengers to Edom to make sure that the Jewish people don't have longer to go in the desert, and they'll come into Eretz Israel as soon as possible, even though by doing that he will die sooner. The Torah continues and tells you that Edom refused to let the Jewish people pass through his land, and the Jewish people circled around him. In Pasuk number 22, the Pasuk says that the Jewish people left Kodesh and the whole congregation came to Hor Har. And Pasuk number 23, there Hashem tells Moshe and Aharon in Hor Har, Al Gvul Eretz Edom, on the borders of Edom, saying that Aharon should go up the mountain and he will die there. Rashi is bothered. Why does the Torah have to tell me where Hor Har is? That Hor Har is at the border of the land of Edom. We know where that location is. Why is the Torah stressing that it is at the border of the land of Edom? Rashi says, Magid, it comes to tell you, Shemipneshin is Chabru Kan, Leiskarev, Leisvarosho, that because they decided to make a connection to get close to the evil Esav, because they wanted to pass through his land, therefore Nifritzu Maaseihem, their actions were broken, were unsuccessful. V'chosru atzadik hazeh, and they lost the righteous Aharon. Meaning that the only reason that Aharon died now is because they got close to the land of Edom. Had they not gotten close to the land of Edom, Aharon would survive longer. But because we wanted to get close to Edom, we wanted to pass his land, even though Edom didn't allow us to pass his land, but our intention was to pass his land, therefore, Aharon died. And the question here is obvious. What connection does it have, us wanting to pass the land, with the dying of Aharon? And specifically, it's even more troubling if we hold, like the Mincha Belula, that Hashem is the one that told us to go ask Adam to pass his land, then what did we do wrong that caused Aharon to die? And why specifically Aharon? Continuing with the Parsha, the Torah proceeds to tell us how Hashem told Aharon, Elazar, and Moshe Rabbeinu to go up the mountain. Aharon took off his clothes, and Elazar put his clothes on. Then Aharon passed away. And then when they come down on verse number 29, the Pasuk says, Vayiru kol oedo ki gova Aharon. The whole congregation saw that Aharon perished. Vayifkes Aharon, and they cried over Aharon, Shloishim Yoim, 30 days, Kol Beis Yisrael, the whole house of Israel, men, women, and children, all of them cried over Aharon for 30 days. Rashi is bothered. What does it mean, Vayiru Kol Oedo, that all the congregation saw that Aharon died? He should have said, Vayishma Kol Oedo, that the whole congregation heard that Aharon died. How did they see that Aharon died? Rashi explains from the Medrash, Kesherao Moshe Velozor Yoidim, when they saw Moshe and Elazar coming down, Ve'aharon lo yorad, and Aharon didn't come down, Omru, they asked Moshe and Elazar, Eichon hu Aharon, where is Aharon? Omar Lohem, Moshe Rabbeinu told them, Meis, that Aharon died? Omru, they said, Efsher Misha Omat Keneged HaMalach, how is it possible that somebody who stood against the Malach HaMoves, against the angel of death, by the story after Koirach on chapter 17, verse number 11, where the Jewish people started complaining that Moshe and Aharon killed the congregation of Hashem, V'otzeres HaMageifa, and was able to stop the plague, Yishloit Boy Malach HaMoves, that the Malach HaMoves will have power over him and kill him, meaning that Aharon was able to stop the angel of death in his tracks. Technically, Aharon is controlling the angel of death. How is it possible that he should be killed by the angel of death? If Aharon could stop the angel of death from killing others, how is it possible that the angel of death could kill him? So what happened? Miyad bikesh Moshe Rachmim, Moshe Rabbeinu prayed to Hashem, Veheru malacha shores lohem mutal bamita, that the ministering angels, the heavenly angels, showed Aharon laying on a bed, meaning that they showed Aharon's bed where he lays dead there. Ro veheminu, the Jewish people saw that Aharon is dead, then they believed Moshe Rabbeinu that he died. Therefore it's written, Vayiru kol oedo ki gova Aharon, that everybody literally saw that Aharon died, because the angels showed to the Jewish people Aharon laying on his bed, that the angels were carrying Aharon. Like that, everybody saw that he died, and everybody believed, and therefore they started mourning him for 30 days. We have to understand, though, what was the error of the Jewish people. Clearly, they erred because Aharon died. What was their error? We cannot say that the error was in the logic, meaning that they thought that since Aharon could stop other people from dying, then he cannot die. That can't be, because we have a case in the Gemara that proves that the logic is not that way. Meaning that the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Hei Amud Beis, discusses Yesurim Shel Ahava, pains of love. Rashi's interpretation of pains of love is that Hashem wants a tzaddik to get greater reward in the world to come. Therefore, he will afflict them in this world. Like that, he will get greater reward in the world to come. The Tzlach explains that we have a rule that lefum tzara agra, that according to the pain, you get the reward. Meaning that Hashem does not give the rewards for the mitzvahs for everybody the same. True that the mitzvah itself, everybody gets the same reward, but for the effort, for the overcoming the evil inclination that you have, then you will get greater reward. For example, let's say two people are buying lulav and esrog. but one goes out in the street and starts looking to make sure that it's flawless and puts the effort in finding the perfect lulav and esrog, and one sits home and has somebody else choose for him a lulav and esrog, then the person who actually went out and got that lulav and looked for that blemishes and tried to find his perfect lulav will get a special reward besides making the mitzvah for the effort that he did. Or could be that the pain, the effort is psychological. For example, you have two people and a person brings non-kosher food in front of these two people. One of these two people always grew up in a religious home, never ate non-kosher food. He is totally not tempted by this non-kosher food. In the other hand, we have this other person who grew up in a non-religious home, always ate non-kosher food. Now that this non-kosher food is in front of him, he is tempted. And yet, both of them decide not to eat this non-kosher food. The person that is tempted gets a greater reward to overcome his temptation, meaning that Hashem will give equal reward for both of them for not eating non-kosher food. But the fact that this person had to overcome his temptation, he had to conquer his Yetzer Hara, for that pain that he went through to overcome his Yetzer Hara, Hashem gives an extra reward. Accordingly, the Tzlach explains that the same situation happens for tzaddikim. We know that tzaddikim do mitzvahs, masim tovim. Hashem decides that Hashem wants to increase their reward, so Hashem gives them some physical pain, and despite the pain, they still go to minyan, they still go to the shiurim, they still perform their mitzvahs. Then for the same mitzvahs, they will get greater reward because of the pain that they are suffering. That, according to the Tzlach, is considered Yesurim Shalahava, pains of love, pains that Hashem gives only because Hashem wants you to get greater reward in the world to come. The fact that you are doing these mitzvahs with extra effort because of your physical pain, that causes you to get a greater reward for those mitzvahs in the world to come. I will just give one more interpretation on this idea of Yisurim Shalahava, pains of love, from Rav Kook. Rav Kook in his Sefer Ayin Aya explains that since a person is comprised of two parts, his spiritual being and his physical being, his neshama and his guf, his soul and his body, his spiritual being always strives to get close to the spirituality, to get close to mitzvah, to get close to Hashem, or his physicality, his physical being, wants him to enjoy the pleasures of this world, enjoys the physicality of this world. A tzaddik normally is able to excel his spirituality over his physicality, meaning that he makes sure that his spirituality controls his physicality. But nonetheless, sometimes a tzaddik reaches a level, true that it may be a high level where his spirituality is soaring over his physicality, but that level is stationary, where he is in the same position for a while, and Hashem knows that this tzaddik has greater potential, and Hashem wants the tzaddik to get to that level, so Hashem will give him Yesurim Shalahava, pains of love. By Hashem giving him pains, Hashem is lowering his physicality, because his guf now is at a low level. Like that, his spirituality is able to soar, that is able to get to a higher level because of Hashem's lowering his physical level. That, according to Rav Kook, is considered Yesurim Shalahava, where Hashem jumpstarts the system again. Hashem gives you a wake-up call that you have to make sure that your spirituality goes ahead and soars higher, that you reached a stationary level. Hashem wants you to be able to get to a higher level, and Hashem will give you those pains in order for you to achieve that higher level. But going back to the Gemara says that Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Cholash, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba was sick. All the Gabe Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan came to visit him. Rabbi Yochanan asks, Amalei chavivim alecho yesurim, are the pains that you are getting dear to you? Do you still want these pains that you have? I know that you have pains of love. Do you want the pains? Amalei loy hen v'loy scharan. I don't want the pains of love, and I don't want the reward that they bring me. Meaning that he was suffering too much. Therefore, he says that I don't want those pains. According to Rav Kook, the meaning is that I don't want the shortcut of the pains. I want to earn the higher level on my own. I don't want Hashem to give me this shortcut. Amale Rabbi Yochanan tells Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Havli yadcha, give me your hand. Yohev lo yadei v'oikmei. He gave him his hand and he was able to pick him up. He was able to make sure that those pains are removed. Again, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba was sick. Rabbi Yochanan asked him, do you want the pains? Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said no. Rabbi Yochanan says, give me your hand. He gave him his hand and he became healed. Then the Gemara tells a different story. Rabbi Yochanan, Cholash, Rabbi Yochanan got sick. Ola gabei Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina came to visit him. Amale Rabbi Chanina tells Rabbi Yochanan, Avivim alecho yesurim, are the pains beloved to you? Meaning, do you still want the pains? Amale, Rabbi Yochanan tells Rabbi Chanina, Loi hem veloi schoren, I don't want them, and I don't want the reward. Amale, hav li yadcha. So Rabbi Chanina says, give me your hand. Yoev le yodei ve'oikme. He gave him the hand and was able to get him up. Meaning that this time Rabbi Yochanan, who picked up Rabbi Chiya bar Abba before, he got sick. Rabbi Chanina came to him and asked him, do you want the sickness? Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Rabbi Chanina says, give me your hand. Rabbi Yochanan gives him his hand and Rabbi Yochanan became healed. The Gemara asks a question, Amai, why was it required for Rabbi Chanina to pick up Rabbi Yochanan to take away his Yesurim? Loikem Rabbi Yochanan Avshei. Why shouldn't Rabbi Yochanan pick himself up? Meaning, we see that Rabbi Yochanan had enough power to heal Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, because when Rabbi Chiya bar Abba was sick, Rabbi Yochanan told Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, give me your hand, and he was able to pick him up and remove his pain. Then why can't Rabbi Yochanan remove his own pain? Why was it required Rabbi Chanina to remove Rabbi Yochanan's pain? The Gemara answers, Omre, Ein Chavish Mater Atzmei Beis Asurim, that a person that is locked up, that a person is a prisoner, can't remove himself from jail. Meaning that even though you have the power to do for others, but for yourself you can't do. And the perfect example is a jail where the lock is from the outside, that any person who comes in there could open up the jail. But you yourself, you are locked inside the room, you cannot open the lock because the lock is outside. The same logic applied here to Rabbi Yochanan, that when somebody else was sick, Rabbi Yochanan had the power, because he is outside, he has the power to lift him up and to heal him. But when Rabbi Yochanan himself is sick, it's tantamount of him being in jail, then he doesn't have the power or the strength to remove his own afflictions. He requires somebody else to pray for him or somebody else to come and help him remove his own afflictions. By the way, this is the same logic that we use by going to Great Rabbonim. Great Rabbonim a lot of times are asking for donations, asking for money, and we go to them to get blessings of money, of parnasa. And people may ask, if the Rebbe is such a great person that he has the power to influence the heavens to give me parnasa, how come he doesn't ask the heavens to give himself parnasa? And the answer they give is that Ein Chavush Matir Atzmo Mibeis Asurim, that could be that he has the power to remove somebody else from his jail, from his poverty, but he has no power to remove himself from this poverty. That may be one valid answer. Other answers may be that the Rebbe is satisfied with what he has, or could be that the Rebbe wants you to have the merit of supporting him, of supporting Torah. But nonetheless, the answer the Gemara gives is Ein chavush matir atzmoy mibeis asurim, that a captive can't take himself out of jail, meaning that certain times a person could help others, but he can't help himself. According to this Gemara, we have a problem with the Jewish people's thinking regarding a harm, meaning that the Jewish people complained to Moshe Rabbeinu. How is it possible that Aharon died? Aharon, who was able to stop the plague, he was able to stop the Malach HaMoves in his track. Seemingly, he had the control over the Malach HaMoves. How is it possible that he should be killed by the Malach HaMoves, by the Angel of Death? And seemingly, this argument was so strong that it required Moshe Rabbeinu to pray for a miracle that the Jewish people should indeed see that Aharon is dead. The question is, why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu simply give them the answer of the Gemara? The Gemara says that Ein chavush matir atzmo mibeis asurim, that a prisoner can't release himself from jail. Then it's possible that Aharon was able to heal the people, was able to save the people, but himself cannot be saved. The same idea that Rabbi Yochanan could heal Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, but yet he himself could not be healed until somebody else came and healed them. So too, Aharon could save the Jewish people from the Malach HaMoves, but himself, when he is in a situation that is under the Malach HaMoves, he cannot save himself. Then obviously this was not the argument that the Jewish people used. Then we have to understand what is the argument that the Jewish people used that forced Moshe Rabbeinu to show an open miracle that Aharon is indeed dead. And even a stronger question, if the Jewish people indeed had a good argument that Aharon should have not died, then how is it possible that Aharon died? How, by showing that Aharon is indeed dead, that quiets the Jewish people from the argument? They technically had a legitimate argument. They had a Kal Vachomer. Then how the fact that Aharon is dead refutes that argument that they had? After the story of Aharon's death, we have the story in chapter 21, verse number 1, that the Kanani came to fight the Jewish people. Rashi brings the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Gimel Amad Aleph 3a, where the Gemara there says that once Aharon died, the clouds of glory were removed, dispersed. Then the Kanani were able to see where the Jewish people were, and they came to fight the Jewish people because they thought that once the clouds were dispersed, permission is then given to fight against the Jewish people. The Jewish people pray to Hashem, and Hashem saves them from the Kanani. Right afterwards, on Pasuk number 4, where this is going to be really the focus of our shir, it's written, Va'isu mo'hoyra har derech yamsuf, that the Jewish people journeyed from Hoyra har through the way of the Yamsuf, the Sea of Reeds, Lisboiv as Eretz Edoim, to circle, to go around the land of Edoim. As we mentioned, Edoim did not allow us to cross through their land. Va'tiksar nefesh sho'am ba'derech, and the spirit of the people became short on the road, or because of the road. What happened afterwards? Va'daber o'am b'loikim v'moishe, the people spoke on Hashem and on Moshe Rabbeinu. Lomo heli salme mitzrayim lomus ba'midbar, why have you brought us from Egypt to die in the desert? Ki ein lechem, because there is no bread, v'ein mayim, and there is no water, v'nafshenu kotza, and our souls is at its limit, is disgusted, b'lechem aklokel, in this light bread, which means the man that is absorbed in their bones, that there is no refuse of it, therefore the man is called lechem aklokel, this light bread. We first have to understand, what does it mean, Vatikzar nefesh ha'om ba'dorech, that the people's spirit became short because of the road. What happened that it caused their spirit to become short? The simple interpretation is that since they realize now that they can't go straight to Eretz Yisrael, they thought that they're going to last another 40 years in the desert, so they started kvetching because of the road. And the problem is that once you start kvetching, then you kvetch about something else. Therefore, the Jewish people spoke badly regarding the man and regarding the water that the Jewish people received in the desert. Meaning that even though you originally kvetch only about one thing, but once you start kvetching, you start kvetching about other things, and that caused the Jewish people to speak bad about the man and the waters of Miriam. The other interpretation is brought down by the Malbim. The Malbim explains that since after Aharon died, the clouds of glory disappeared. As we mentioned, that is the reason that the Kanani knew where the Jewish people were. Once the clouds of glory disappeared, that comfort that was brought by the clouds of glory also disappeared, meaning that the clouds of glory, the Anana covered, protected us from the elements. It protected us from excessive heat and from excessive cold. And if you are protected from the elements, then it is very fitting that you should eat such a light bread as the man, because you don't have any exertion and any discomfort. The man is very fitting for people that are comfortable, people that don't have any exertion or any discomfort. But if you have to stay in the sun and go in the cold at night, then that man is not going to last you, because they thought that the man won't be able to sustain you. Other Meforshim add to this and say that the Anana covered, besides the comfort of temperature, the Anana covered also had another benefit, that the Anana covered actually carried us through the desert. We didn't have to walk in the desert. Since the clouds of glory protected us like a cube, then the cube itself moved. Automatically, the Jewish people moved together with the cube, so they didn't have to do any exertion in order to go from one place to the other, because the Anana covered, the clouds carried them. But now that the Anana covered left, now we actually have to start walking. And they thought, when a person wants to walk a long road, he takes food that is heavy in order to stay longer in his stomach. But since the man is such lechem aklokel, such a light bread, they thought that they are not going to be sustained by the man. And they started to complain because now they have to walk on the road. And if they walk on the road, they thought that the man is not good enough for them. Hashem got upset at the Jewish people, and Hashem sent upon the Jewish people the Nechoshim Asrofim, the burning snakes. Rashi explains that there were snakes that burned with their poison. Rashi explains why did Hashem choose specifically a snake. Rashi says, let the snake who was punished because spoke Lashon Hara bite those people who are speaking Lashon Hara. Meaning, all the way back by the story of Adam v'Chava, the snake spoke Lashon Hara against Hashem, and therefore the snake was punished. Therefore, let the snake punish the Jewish people for speaking Lashon Hara against the man and against the waters. And the other interpretation, Rashi says, why specifically a snake? Rashi says, let the snake, who whatever it eats, tastes like dust, as it's written in Bereshis, V'ofar toichal kol yemei chayecho, that you're going to eat dust all your life, meaning whatever the snake eats tastes like dust, and let the snake take revenge of ungrateful people, that whatever they eat tastes like any food they want, and they're not satisfied. Meaning let the snake, which is eating dust all his life, bite those people who are eating man that could taste like anything they want, and they are not satisfied. We understand now why Hashem sent specifically the snakes. But now we have to explain why did Hashem specifically curse the snake that it's going to eat dust all its life. Why specifically dust? How is that a punishment for what the snake did? To start answering our questions, we'll first ask the question of the Torah's Moshe. The Torah's Moshe asks a question. Here we have people that are eating man for 40 years throughout the desert. How is it possible that all of a sudden these people started complaining regarding the man and regarding the water? And he explains that up to this point, these people that grew up in the desert never actually had experienced real food. They never saw people eating food because all they ate was the man. But now that they got close to the lands of Edom and to the lands of Ammon and Moab, now the Jewish people finally saw food. They saw how those kings and those people gorged themselves with food. They saw finally how an apple looks like, because they didn't have any apples in the desert. And as the Gemara brings down, that a blind person is never sated, because a great part of the satisfaction is the presentation. And since a blind person cannot see the presentation, then he is never truly satisfied. And true that the man tasted like anything that we want, but the man did not have this visual effect. As a matter of fact, Moshe Rabbeinu himself says on Parshas Ekev, chapter 8, Vayancho vayarivecho vayachilcho saman, that Hashem afflicted you, Hashem made you starve, and he fed you the man. So even though you ate the man, you were still considered starving because you never had that visual effect, that effect that causes a person to become sated, that lacked in the man. Therefore, now when they saw real food, when they got close to the border of Edom, they desired now to have real food. They had kina, they had jealousy on these Edomites by eating and gorging themselves with real food. Therefore, they started to complain against the man. They saw the Edomites sitting in a table full of meat, full of fruits, full of vegetables, full of wine. And here the Jewish people have a little bit of water and a little bit of man on the table. True that the Jewish people probably had a richer taste of food in the man, but it lacked this visual effect. The Jewish people got close to the Edomites because they wanted, they desired to be like the Edomites. Therefore, they complained against the man. Because they got close to the Edomites, therefore they complained against the man. We also find that there is two kinds of jealousy. One jealousy is that I have something and somebody else has something a little bit better, then I desire what the other person has and I'm jealous of what the other person has. But nonetheless, I am still happy if what I have. Then there is another situation that a person desires what the other person has. He desires so much that unless he gets what the other person has, whatever he has is not considered like anything. An example of that is when you give food to children. Let's say you have two children. And to one child, you give a special portion, a special kind of food. And to the other child, you give regular food. That child who got the regular food will be so upset and he'll complain so much that he wants the other food, that unless he gets the other food, he is willing to starve and not eat his food. That is a very destructive kind of jealousy. And that is the jealousy that the Jewish people had. The Jewish people had man. Man tasted like anything they wanted. Nonetheless, since they couldn't get what Edom has, they couldn't get the visual benefits from the food, like they saw when they got close to Edom, they said, "V'nafsheni kotza belechem akloikel," that our soul is disgusted with this light bread. We're not interested in eating this light bread. We're disgusted by it. We are so desirous, so jealous of the food that the Edomites get, that we don't want to have anything to do with our man. And that is a very bad statement that the Jewish people made. And therefore Hashem decided to punish them by the snakes. The snake, according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis 59b, the Gemara there says, Rav Yehuda ben Teima says, Adam Arishon Meisav Began Eden Haya, Adam Arishon was feasting in Gan Eden, Voyu Malach HaShoret Tzolei Basar, the angels were roasting to him meat, Metzan Eloi Maim, and they were giving him wine to drink, Vehitzitz Boi Nachash, the snake saw, Vera Kvoido, and saw all the honor that the angels gave Adam Arishon, when his Kane Boy, and it got jealous on him. Meaning that the snake saw all the honor the angels are giving to Adam HaRishon, and it became jealous on that honor. Rashi, in the beginning of the Torah, on chapter 3, verse number 15, where the snake is cursed, where there the Torah says, Ve'eva oshis, and I'll put the enmity between you and the women, Rashi explains why was the snake specifically cursed that is going to be hatred between women and snakes. Rashi says that the snakes really desire to have Chava. The snake got jealous of Adam HaRishon. He wanted that Chava will feed Adam HaRishon the fruit and Adam will die, and the snake will be able to marry Chava. And the reason that it went to Chava, Rashi says, is because since the snake knew that it's easier to convince a woman than to convince a man, therefore it wanted to convince Chava to feed Adam. Adam would die, and then the snake would marry Chava. We see from here that the jealousy of the snake was so strong that the snake was willing to cause Adam to transgress the word of Hashem and even die, as long as the snake is able to get its desire. That the snake was willing to kill a man in order to get to Chava. And furthermore, he was so jealous on Adam HaRishon that he thought that if I can get what Adam HaRishon has, meaning Chava, then nobody should be able to get her. Meaning that the snake was willing to risk that Adam and Chava will eat from the fruit and they both will die. Like that, his jealousy is quenched. Meaning, even though now he doesn't have Chava, but nonetheless, the fact that nobody else has Chava was good enough for him. So we see that this snake was incredibly jealous, had an extreme jealousy on Adam, and that jealousy, according to the Gemara, started because it saw the honor that the angels gave when they fed Adam HaRishon. That started the beginning of his jealousy, and his jealousy grew so much that whatever he had wasn't worth anymore. Therefore, Hashem cursed the snake that it's going to eat dust. You wanted to taste that good food that Adam HaRishon had, that the angels fed him. For that, achol toichal kol yamei chayecha, you're going to eat dust all your life. Because that the jealousy that you had Adam HaRishon caused you to act the way that you acted, therefore you are going to be punished. That offer toichal kol yamei chayecha, that you are going to eat dust all the days of your life. According to this, you understand why specifically the snake that eats dust is punishing the Jews that they're eating all kinds of food in the man. Meaning that the snake is telling the Jewish people that the jealousy that you have on other people's food caused me to eat dust. Therefore, now that you are jealous on these Edomites, that they have real food, but nonetheless you have man and you are complaining, then you deserve to be beaten by me because you haven't learned the lesson that I give. By you being beaten by me, maybe you will learn this lesson that jealousy will cause you to eat dust. Now we understand why specifically when they got close to Edom, Aharon HaKohen had to die. Because regarding Aharon, it's written on Parshas Shmos, chapter 4, verse number 14, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was procrastinating that he doesn't want to go to Paroi, one of the reasons Mefarshim bring is that he didn't want to take away the honor of his older brother. and he was afraid that Aharon HaKohen is going to become jealous. Therefore, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu that you don't have to worry about Aharon, v'gam hine hu yoytze likrosecha, and behold, he is coming to meet you, v'ro'acho, he is going to see you, v'samach belibo, and he'll rejoice in his heart. Meaning that you don't have to worry about Aharon HaKohen becoming jealous of your position of king. You are destined to have more covet, more honor, and more glory than Aharon. Nonetheless, Aharon doesn't have a tingle of jealousy. Aharon is the opposite of jealousy, and Aharon is happy what he has, and is also happy that you get more than him. Aharon is never jealous. He's sameach bechelkoi shel chaveroi, that he's happy when somebody else has more than him. And therefore, Aharon, which was so great in the middle of jealousy, he worked so hard to teach the Jewish people not to be jealous. As a matter of fact, most fights between people start because they are jealous of one thing or the other. And since Aharon is the one who excelled in making shalom, making peace between people, then Aharon was constantly teaching the people not to be jealous one on another. When Hashem saw that they got close to Edom, and the Jewish people were jealous in their heart, they started to complain, they started to quetch, Hashem did not want to cause that pain to Aharon, that Aharon should see all the fruits of 40 years of the desert, that is trying to work with the Jewish people, make sure that they are not jealous one to another, promote shalom between them. And here, all of a sudden, the Jewish people see a little bit of food and they get jealous. Therefore, Hashem decided that he has to take Aharon away before the Jewish people start acting on this jealousy. That it wouldn't be proper and honorable for a person that works so hard on maintaining the proper attitude, make sure that people are not jealous, make sure that people are happy with what the other has, make sure there is shalom between the Jewish people, that here, once the Jewish people got close to Edom, they started desiring food. Hashem knew that because of them getting close to Edom, therefore there was no choice. Hashem decided to take away Aharon HaKohen in order for him not to be pained by seeing the Jewish people jealous and by seeing the fruits of 40 years that he worked going to the wayside. And now we could explain the other part, the Jewish people's argument when Aharon died, of how is it possible that a person that stood against the Malach HaMoves should be killed by the Malach HaMoves. Meaning that a person that was able to stand in front of the Angel of Death, how can he be killed by the Angel of Death? And we mentioned previously that this logic seemed to be flawed. Therefore, Sefer Shemen Roish explains that this logic is based on the Gemara Baba Kama Daf Nun Amud Aleph 50a. There the Gemara tells a story with the daughter of Nechunya Chofer Sichim. Nechunya was a person that he used to dig cisterns along the road so the Jewish people will have plenty of water when they come to be Oil Regel, when they do the pilgrimage to the temple on the three holidays. His daughter fell in a big pit, in a big well. They came and they told Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa what happened in order for him to pray that she should be rescued. So the Gemara says that the first hour, Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa says shalom, that she's still at peace, you don't have to worry about it. Shnia, the second hour, he said she's still at peace. Came the third hour, Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa says also that she came out of the water. So they came, asked this girl, who brought you up? So she said that a male sheep came by with a certain elderly man leading it, and they are the ones who brought me up. And Mefarshim explained that this is referring to Avraham Avinu and the sheep of Akedas Yitzchak, meaning that the merit of him doing kindness because he followed in the footsteps of Avraham Avinu, therefore Avraham Avinu came to save him. Avraham Avinu came to save this girl in the merit of the father doing the kindness that he was digging wells for the people. That's why they came to save him. The Gemara continues that the people came and asked Rab Chanina ben Doisa, Noviato, are you a prophet? Rab Chanina ben Doisa answered them, Loi novi anoichi, I am not a prophet. Veloi ven novi anoichi, I am not the son of a prophet. Elokach omarti, but that is what I reasoned. Dover shoyis a tzaddik mitzar boy, something that this tzaddik, meaning the father, Rab Nechunya, which dug the wells, that he was worried that people should have water. Ikashul boy zaroi, this should cause a stumble to his children, meaning that the daughter of Chanina, digger of wells, should die by well. Therefore, I knew that she's going to be saved. It is not proper that if you're doing something for the people and you have pure intentions when you're doing this, that this should be the cause of your demise. Therefore, I knew that she is going to survive. According to this, Sefer Shemeroy says that this was the logic that the Jewish people used. How is it possible somebody who always stood neged the Malach HaMoves, in the way of the Malach HaMoves, risked his life to prevent the Jewish people dying, that person should die by the Malach HaMoves? How can that be? Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu did not have a choice, and Moshe Rabbeinu had to invoke a miracle in order to show the people that Aharon HaKohen did not die by the Malach HaMoves. He died by Neshike, by a kiss of Hashem. He had a lofty death, a death directly by the hands of Hashem, not through the angel of death. As the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph 17a brings from the Pasuk in Parshas Maasei, Bamidbar chapter 33, verse 38, where it says, Vayal Aharon HaKohen el Hoyahor, Aharon HaKohen went up to Hoyahor, al pi Hashem vayomus sham, by the mouth of Hashem, and he died there. The Gemara says that it's not that Aharon went by the mouth of Hashem, means that his death was by the mouth of Hashem. The Gemara says, from there we learn that Aharon died by Neshika, by a kiss of Hashem. Whatever it means that Hashem kissed Aharon directly and Aharon died, but not by the Malach HaMoves. Therefore, the argument of the Jewish people falls by the wayside, because the Jewish people argued, how is it possible that the angel of death could take Aharon? The answer is, the angel of death did not take Aharon. Aharon had a loftier death. He had a death directly by the mouth of Hashem. And to prove that, Hashem had the angels carry the ark. That proved that Aharon's death wasn't a normal death. Why? Because normally, when a person dies, that body has tumah, has ritual impurity, and clearly the Kohanim, which serve the temple, they cannot be exposed to ritual impurity, and clearly the ministering angels that serve Hashem, they definitely cannot be exposed to ritual impurity. The fact that the angels were carrying the bed that Aharon HaKohen was laying on showed clearly that Aharon did not transmit any tumah, any ritual impurity. The only way that's possible that he shouldn't transmit ritual impurity is if he died by the kiss of Hashem, because if he died by the angel of death, then he would transmit ritual impurity. The fact that they saw that Aharon is being carried by the angels, that showed them that he didn't die by the angel of death. Therefore, they accepted that he died, and therefore they cried over him 30 days. And the reason that Hashem took Aharon at this juncture and gave him this lofty death is because Hashem was protecting Aharon, that Aharon should not see his work of 40 years going to the wayside by the Jewish people having this jealousy in them and desiring to be like the Edomites, desiring to eat the food and drink the wine that they had to such a high degree that it caused them to shun the man which was the gift for Hashem. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should learn from Aharon that we should not be jealous on one another. We should be happy when somebody else has something that you don't have. Should be happy on the successes of others. If we do that, we'll have Ahavas Chinam, we'll merit that Moshiach will come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, במהרה ביומנו, אמן.